But if you were not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're born of the Spirit. Ask the Lord to baptize you. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because this is one of the crucial points of operating in a strong anointing. The more of the Holy Spirit you can function in, the more powerful and the more truthful the anointing will function through your life. One of the main ingredients of being highly anointed is being able to pray in the Spirit. And I'll get started right now, so you just catch on. We're going to talk about how to always abide in a strong anointing. How to always abide in a strong anointing. Now, it will not happen automatically. It has to be activated. It has to be accessed. It's not a normal way of preaching. Not a normal way of teaching. It will take, this thought will help you so much. The anointing is a saturation with the Spirit. In other words, you become saturated with the Spirit of God, that His power, turn to Ephesians 6:10, please. His power is always oozing out of your life, out of your very body, out of the very words you speak, out of the very thoughts you think. It's so powerful that actually a book can't contain all of the accolades or the attribute that goes with it. The anointing is an addressing on behalf of God by the strength, the power, and the Spirit of God that attacks the enemy work, or destroyed, attacking and destroying. It's so powerful. At the same time, it attracts miracles, signs, and wonders to the people of God who you mention to, or to your own portion of life. So that's very important. It's a saturation. So if you're going to have a saturation, you're going to have a soaking. So let's talk a minute about soaking in the presence of God. Just you and God. It's beyond meditation. Actually, meditation is a part of soaking, but it's just that soaking in the presence of God is above meditation, because it's a grand invitation. You are inviting God to take you beyond the average. Take you where He personally can take you, places that no man has gone before. It's not an ego trip, it's just a home. Just a thirst, back to the home and the thirst. And so, to minister to you this morning, He took me to a scripture that I didn't know fit in. But Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Well, we know any strength in the Lord is in the spirit realm. And we know that the Holy Spirit, as we've studied the fruit of the Spirit growing, the gifts of the Spirit flowing, and I touched a little bit on the armor of God, which is listed here in Ephesians 6, an armor of protection for the gospel to be preached. And all the words that he using in Ephesians 6:10, like the breastplate of righteousness, the hammer of salvation, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, all are parts of the spirit realm. And I believe that they are part of the anointing. So when he said, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might," we know the power of His might is the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And so if we're going to always abide in the strong anointing, we have to go back to John 15:7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, shall be done to you." That's an abiding factor. That word is based on John 6:63. The word of God is spirit and life. And then there in Ephesians, he called it the sword of the Spirit. So it's important. Then we got Hebrews 4:12, tell us how the word divide us and give us different aspect and different aspect of who we are. So finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I believe that we're thinking about and talking about a strong anointing. And what we want to do is find out how to always abide in a strong anointing. Now, one of the things that is very important, being anointed to speak the oracles of God. In other words, not just have information, but there must be inspiration, there must be the anointing, there must be the life of the Holy Spirit. Now, all those men in the Bible read about it, had such a powerful ministry. Even in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord was upon them. Now, we talked about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon, the anointing within and the anointing upon. And when you speak, let's talk about releasing an anointing. You know, your words should release anointing by the Holy Ghost. So he said, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Then you go down and you look at the whole arm of God. And then the anointing is a resistor and an attacker of the enemy. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits of wickedness, rulers of darkness cannot stand against the anointing." So that's what Jesus was teaching us. You have to function in anointing to not combat, but to defeat the enemy. So we're going to go to a lot of scriptures today that are going to show us how does anointing work and how you know whether you are operating in anointing or not. Let's start a few. Here's a powerful Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Powerful scripture. Jesus showed us in Luke 4, 18 how the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He anointed him. The first thing they anointed him to do is speak. He said, "Preach the gospel." Luke 4, 18.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. First, so don't be speaking without no anointing, because it won't help nobody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the anointing is thing to destroy the yoke and remove the burden.
Yes,
and so, as we study the anointing, we'll get further and further in studying the anointing. But here in Luke 4:32 is a powerful word about Jesus' ministry and why his ministry is so powerful. As I said in Luke 4:18, the first thing he said, "The Spirit of the Lord may have anointed me to preach." So preach is a form of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Teach is a form of speaking.
Yeah.
Counseling,
yes,
is a form of speaking. It's releasing the power.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have the power, but the power has to be released. And I think the major way we release the power of God is through our, we'll look at some scripture to validate that, is by speaking in the anointing, teaching in the anointing, preaching in the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
All is important. So you can see, and I be very careful about the anointing and the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people get excited, people running around. The fact is, you can have an emotional meeting, but the fact is, nobody can deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I'm talking really deliver. I'm talking about a reality of the presence of the Spirit of God doing astonishing, extraordinary things.
Yes, sir.
You can know anointing there, and people get saved, people get out of wheelchairs, the dead is risen. I've seen it all.
Yeah.
When that happened, blood pressure go normal, sugar level go normal. That anointing start eradicating things and bringing things in, the goodness of God in, the mercy of God in, the grace of God. All of that's in the anointing.
Yes,
and so it's one of, outside of the word of God, the anointing is a powerful thing that each one of us must have and must understand. Now, this is a powerful scripture here in Luke 4:32, and it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine," or his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this, because this is powerful. "For his word was" what? With power. See what that means? His word was operating in anointing. I remember when I first found this in the Amplified Bible, man, it'll blow you away here. He says, and they were amazed at his teaching, for his word was with authority and ability and weight and power.
Glory.
I first saw it many years ago. That's just a description of the anointing.
Yes, sir.
The anointing authorize you to be a representative of the kingdom of God, a representative of heaven, invading earth with heaven, changing natural and demonical things into the will of God.
Yes.
So within the anointing, there's authority, there's ability, there's weight, and there's power.
Yes.
In the anointing, listen, the anointing puts you in an authority position. It puts you in an ability that is not normal.
Right.
And you carry a weight.
Mm-hmm.
And you carry a power.
Yes.
That changes people's lives.
Yeah.
See? And without that anointing, you're not going to carry that.
Yeah.
And so I see so many trying to, and they're good people trying to do the work of God, but if they don't get trained and developed like we're doing here, let the Holy Spirit train us in the anointing. Is if you look at the 36th verse, 4:36, it gives us another glimpse of Jesus' ministry operating in the anointing. Luke 4:36, they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! What a word is this!" See, an anointing has a shocking factor. It'll shock you out the natural into the presence of God. What a word is this?
What a word.
Yeah, what a word is this? With authority and power, he commanded, look at that, the unclean spirit, and they come out. See, that's the thrill of operating in an anointing, because you can run up on the unclean spirit.
Right. Yes,
I mean, that's your assignment, to clean up, clean the house up.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Bible word says that just John 15:3 says you're clean through the word.
Yes.
But that word has to be spirit and life. And it has to come out of your spirit and out of your heart and out of your mouth in power.
Yeah.
In thinking about that, and this is in Jesse, we can stay here all day long. I love that 32nd verse about that weight and power and authority and ability. And that's what a person is lacking if they've never been trained in the anointing. Good people actually have a genuine call, but they miss a turn. When I say they miss a turn, because God always going to bump you into who's supposed to train you.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't have an ego, think you can just go sit and read your Bible on the porch by yourself and don't get nobody, let nobody train you, well, then that's another deal. But he's always there. That person, she always there, he always there to train you. And I think we should, the next verse we're about to look at will be a proof to us that the enemy will not respect you if you don't have an anointing.
Yeah.
I mean, he just won't respect you. You have to make him respect you.
Yeah.
Because he's the God of this world. But the Bible says when a stronger than he come along.
Okay.
And see, in that, all of those words, when you see the word strong, you have to think about anointing.
Right.
It's in the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? No other way to get around it. So to get people delivered, and pastors to set people free, you're going to have to be beyond a little outline.
Yeah.
You got to spend time with God, in the presence of God. You look at a man or a woman who operated in the spirit, you say, wow. You know, you say, you go back and do it. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're going to have to train and follow. Now, one of the most powerful scriptures that in the gospel, they're all powerful, but I just get excited. In Luke 21:15, when I ran across this scripture, I said, "My, I thought I had gone to hell," because it bespeaks the goodness of God, the grace of God, and how God, I think it's 21:15, how God wants us to operate, you see. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries should not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Yeah. Wow.
Now that's That's speaking words from a heart that is filled with the anointing of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the enemy, he said, I give you a mouth and wisdom. So I know that the anointing is speaking the wisdom of God, mm-hmm. with authority, with ability, with weight, yeah. with power. Don't forget that authority, ability. Mm-hmm. So every time we rise to speak, we must check, do I have the authority? Do I have the ability? Do I have the weight? Do I have the power? Now, you can feel it, but it's not always a feeling.
Sure.
It's annoying.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
It's annoying. If I start, he gonna start. Mm-hmm. See, but when I start, he gonna start. Mm-hmm. And because you have spent quality time with him in preparation to be able to understand when he's moving. Should anointing have to always understand it? If you want to operate in the anointing, you got to be able to understand he's taking over now. Mm-hmm. All I got to do is yield. Say what he say, do what he do, what he inspired me to do. And so one of the major address or assignment of the anointing is to deal with the enemy. Mm-hmm. And we have what you call, when we're operating in the anointing, a commanding voice, mm-hmm. that declares, decree, and create things. See, by the word of our mouth. Lord, thinking the best.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the things that my dad had. He always thought the best. I remember that I'm not calling no names, some of y'all relied, but some things came up that was crossing. I heard the question, I asked him about the other person.
Yeah.
He said, oh, he laughed, he'd be all right.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say nothing negative, mm-hmm. you know, and I heard the story he told of a man in town just jump out of the bushes and cut people with a knife, and he died. The man died, and so many people asked people different questions about the man,
yeah.
and so many people talk about how bad and how, you know, I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah.
Asked one man, say, how was it? Man, say, he had pretty eyes. She just refused to say anything negative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're going to have an anointed mouth, you got to watch what come out of it.
Yeah.
See, your mouth, good water, when they say good water,
mm-hmm.
and bad water can't come out of the same fountain.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so while we're here, let's talk about protecting the anointed. If you're going to buy in a strong anointing, you're going to have to protect the anointing.
Yeah.
And one of the main ways to protect your anointing is through thought and words, what you're thinking. You got to protect your thought life,
mm-hmm.
what you're saying. You got to protect your conversation life to protect the anointing. Because like I said, good water and bad water can't come out of the same fountain.
Yeah.
All right, so now, I like this voice, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Now, what is he saying here? Well, it is, you just can't resist the Holy Ghost. And my question is, operating in the Holy Ghost, that word will flat run over you if you get in the way. And it'll lift people up and take them out of your charge. That's what we want to see happen.
Yes,
now,
sir. Yes, sir.
In looking at all these scriptures, there's another powerful scripture we want to go to, but go to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5. I mean, how powerful can you get here? You know, and this is not the powerful scripture I'm talking about. There's more powerful than that, but I want to look at that to emphasize now the anointing. Now, this is an emphasis of the anointing in full blast, I would say. And you know, for our gospel cannot unto you in word only. That's an indictment.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indictment of someone who is speaking the word with no anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a whole lot of this going on in ministries and in the world today. A lot of word is being spoken. But there's no in word only, you know, word only. And you say, what do you mean? The word, what can do? No, the word is a combination with the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And the word, the spirit part of the word is not available unless there's someone who's carrying the anointing to activate the spirit part.
Mm-hmm.
In the life part, the word that's used is spirit and life. But also in power. Now you see,
mm-hmm.
that's a dimension, two different dimensions. Mm-hmm. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you know what manner of men we were among you. For your sake, so a different man of men, undoubtedly, you know.
Yes,
but that's a powerful voice there.
Yes.
Talking about yes. preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. No, right, we said, but it's the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when he talked about it's the power of God, he's talking about the word activated
mm-hmm.
with an anointing. The word without the anointing is not the power of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The power is in the word, but you, mm-hmm. you have to access it under the jurisdiction of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And you have to release it
mm-hmm.
under the jurisdiction of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
So this scripture is so powerful, but this is a Holy Ghost verse. This is an anointing verse. See, a lot of times people can read this and get excited. It's like Luke 4:32. Jesus' word with authority, ability, weight, mm-hmm. and power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when one operates in the anointing, there's a certain amazing grace released with it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing when the anointing and amazing are two words that come out of the same category.
Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. People, they were amazed by how Jesus spoke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was a man in this world speaking from another world.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are.
Yes, sir.
We got to be speaking from another
yes,
world.
Sir.
So what we got to do? Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Spend time. The best way to get acclimated, acquainted, accelerated, anointed. Awesome
mm-hmm.
power is spend time praying in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jude 19 tell you if you don't operate in the anointing, you're going to operate in your senses.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tells us pray in the spirit to get out of the senses.
Right. Yes, sir.
And then John 1:26 tell us if not, seducing spirit
mm-hmm.
gonna be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gonna be in charge.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And so a lot of times yes, seducing spirit, people getting raped in the spirit, people mm-hmm. getting robbed, you know, they can't get no release
mm-hmm.
or relief. You see what I'm saying? Unless they're anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the person who ministering to them is wearing an anointing.
Mm-hmm.
You see. Which carry the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
miracle, sign, wonders, deliverance, truth that mm-hmm. cannot be stood up again. That's where you get set free.
Yes,
I mean, you know, the truth of the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he equated to that, the Holy Spirit equated to that when he's teaching our 1 John 2:27.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the word truth in there.
Mm-hmm.
See, a true anointing.
True.
A true anointing is an anointing that wants to please God.
Yeah.
It's not a show-off anointing. It's not, I mean, there's a lot of joy in it when the Spirit mm-hmm. of God is moving through you, man. I've had it time and time again. It's a joy, but it's a joy of the Lord. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The anointing also has a side effect. The anointing will take you out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't stay in a strong anointing a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It can't handle it.
Wow.
It's another world. Another world come up in you. God.
Yes.
God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is yes. sitting up on the inside of you having a conference. How are we going to handle it? you think your senses, your body can handle mm-hmm. it for a long time? No. No. It's a measurement of time. That's why it seems like you're having surges of the anointing. It's really not a surgeon. It is giving you what you can bear at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, that's mm-hmm. And that's... That's why I know myself personally, I couldn't live in this anointing at its highest peak all the time. I know it's there, but it's sort of like turning the switch on, or open the valve, you know, at given moments when the anointing rises. I can sit up there, I call Shikia, Roma Shikia. Oh, Rabasiko, delay Shikun, delay Bro, Wisconsin. I will deal with the delays that you've had in your life, in your family, in your finances, and in the ministry, if you let me. If you will take hold of the word that my servant is releasing beyond his ability to you right now, change has come. Change has come in the dynamic. Things have been status, stationary in your ministry, but now you're about to move. There must be an excitement in your heart that this is not a regular moment, that I'm speaking to you to answer the many prayers you have prayed over the years. Why, when, and how? It all come into your house today, come into your heart today. Just bear witness and permit the Holy Spirit to bear witness with these truths that you hear it. No matter what your level of ministry is, no matter how long you've been in ministry, pay attention to what the Spirit is saying to the church, especially to minister. Receive, activate, take these notes piece by piece and begin to pray them in your life. And seducing spirit will be stopped. And you operate in a strength that the average man will never see, or the average woman will never see. So hear the word of God. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today about my anointing, about my spirit, about the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. It's so important in every activity in your life. Says the Lord.
My goodness.
Now, as we look, let's go to this scripture I've been talking about so much. It's a primary teaching of the anointing. It's the master teacher, is the master wearer of the anointing. Hebrews chapter 1, the master wearer of the anointing. You know that the prophets of old had the Spirit upon them, but they didn't have the Spirit within them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about how great John the Baptist was. He said, one that is least in the kingdom is greater than him. I understand that connotation because John was not able to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Spirit of God, according to what is it called? 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Spirit of God dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we have an indwelling anointing.
Yes.
That does not work automatic. We're talking about accessing and releasing. Okay, now, here in Hebrews, it tells about the first chapter, there's a bragging of God about his son.
Mm-hmm.
God bragging on his son.
Uh-huh.
And but the bragging about his son also bring us the grip that we can walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Y'all didn't get that.
Yes,
you see, what he says, God in his last days has spoken. God at sundrying time and dying manner, speaking time prayer to the fathers by the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Had verse 1, has in his last days spoken to us by his son.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Whom he appointed heirs of all things. Yeah. So if he appointed heirs of all things, I'm appointed.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be an anointing to collect.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
By whom also he made the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who being the brightness of the glory, the anointing bring forth the brightness of God's glory and express image of the poison. The anointing is the express image of God's poison.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hearing this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pulling all things by the word of his power. When I see the word power, I know the anointing is involved there.
Mm-hmm.
See, when he, as representative of Jesus Christ, we should keep have this moving. When he had by himself poured out and sat down at the right hand, imagine how. Being made so much better than an angel, we are too. As inherited by obtaining a more excellent name, the name belonged to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give it to us in John 14. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever you ask in my name.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, what of the angel in verse 5? See, in time thou my son, this they have begotten, and again I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. Now, when I hear that, I recognize Jesus have a place all by himself, but I'm a son.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
John 1:12 said, but in many receive him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So these attributes should be in us.
Yeah.
But these attributes only are in us by the anointing, by the movement of the Spirit. Are you following me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so it goes on to say, what verse I was in, the sixth verse? That's good. And again, when he brings the word, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him, he said, who made the angel spirit his minister for him, a father. Now, watch what I'm going to say to you now in the closing session of the session this morning, before I go into the next aspect of this thing, how to abide in the strong anointing. I believe that the anointing is the scepter of righteousness. When he talked about our ability, our authority, and we talked about yesterday that the anointing is connected to righteousness and to wisdom. It's divine. It's sort of like what Peter said in 2 Peter, it's partakers of the divine nature. Is that, and Peter also called it a divine power. And then Peter talked about the exceeding grace and precious promises. Well, the anointing is the one that is able to sap, pull these things out, no other way to get those things, even what Peter called out. Talking about virtue, faith, and all this stuff, add to your faith, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But here, very few know about this scepter of righteousness. It says in the 8th verse, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's government. Scepter, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So we're going to operate in these two things, kingdom and right. You must have had some scepter or something.
Sure.
And I believe that the anointing, as I was thinking, the anointing is not something you just carry in your hand. I believe something you carry in your heart. And then it comes to your hand. Then it comes to your mouth. Then it comes to your mouth. You speak scepter words.
Yeah.
Words that runs the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Yeah.
Words that run the kingdom. Words that regulate the kingdom on earth. When a man or woman is anointed, they're speaking out of a king's mouth. And they're speaking as a royal priesthood. And they're speaking words that are scepters. Words that are kingly words, words that rule the kingdom. And so when you see, when it was amazed by his ability, his authority, his weight, and his power back over there in Luke, he was speaking, boy, I said, never a man speak like this man.
Yes, sir.
Because he wasn't a regular man speaking. Don't ever be regular. Don't ever be regular. He didn't call you, anoint you, appoint you, assign you, and then sent the Holy Spirit to align you with another world. Don't ever be regular. See? And so back to Paul's statement. Paul said, but I got to bring it back. Meekness, weakness, fear, and trembling.
Yes, sir.
See?
Yes.
That attitude, that must stay with you.
Yes, sir.
Because he can't allow you with that power. See, that's what happened to Satan.
Yeah, yes, sir.
He saw the power. But he didn't recognize who he belonged to. And see, that's the danger.
That's why
people pull off and they get into a cult and get into different things because they think it's their power doing it. And so they open up shops.
Yes, sir.
And there's no such thing. Now, I want to clear this up. There's no such thing as a person can call you to a meeting and tell you what they're going to do.
Right.
Come on, sir. Help us. We need to clear that up.
Yeah,
they're going to read and tell you something. And then they got a prophecy for you. No, I don't want no prepared prophecy.
Right.
Because it's not as the Spirit will. That
right.
That's the Bible said. It's not as the Spirit will.
Yeah.
So we got all these meetings. And LTMA members, I want y'all to understand, y'all gonna stay from the meeting. Y'all go to the meeting and come back. They expect me to act like that. I'm not acting like that. Come on. Yeah, when I find the truth, I cut myself out from all those meetings.
Yes,
I don't care how many they say got healed.
Yeah.
You know, you just cannot
activate
the power of the Holy Ghost through a real anointing on your own accord, at your own time.
Yeah,
No, the Holy Spirit is in charge.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one thing you have to learn about the anointing. So that's where you have to be in weakness, meekness, fear, and trembling.
Yes.
Now, when Paul said that over there back there in 1 Corinthians 2, and I think it's the master charter of a man walking and demonstrating the Spirit of power. He said, but not by enticing word, not with excellent word.
Yeah.
He said, but he spoke by the Spirit.
Yes,
when Paul said that, I think it was a insight for all of us to know. I'm going to give a word here that honor,
yes, sir.
Reverential honor,
yes, sir.
Is so important toward God, toward Jesus, toward the Holy Ghost, toward your fellow man,
yes, sir.
Toward who over you, who's your overseer, who's your trainer, who's your spiritual father. It's so important for those things to be in place. I am where I am today because I honor.
Yes,
I honor God, I honor my life, I honor my family, I honor his assignment, I honor my spiritual father.
Yes,
and so I excel quicker than the average man. There's an excelling factor here that in the anointing, excelling in the anointing. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime, about excelling in the anointing. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the most, as far as I know in my 43 years of ministry, this is one of the most powerful insight and teaching that I ever done in my life. And it's just called by the Holy Spirit, because this is, if it was such a word, backtracking how I got where I am in ministry. And you have to love the anointing. I love to yield. See, when I say that, the Holy Spirit came right up on me. You have to love to yield to the Holy Spirit. It's the most grandest thing in your life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So now we talk about the scepter rising, and we may have to talk about that more, because that is speaking scepter words, having scepter thoughts, having scepter authority, manifestation on behalf of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Now that's right. That's not a regular. You know, so many meals are not having the opportunity we have here to fellowship with the Holy Spirit as we are. So here's the main thing then. Verse 9 of Hebrews 1. Thou hast loved righteousness. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21, you see. That's Luke 6:33. That's Romans 14:17, we talk about the kingdom. Righteousness. Righteousness is the positioning that Jesus' blood had put us in.
Yes, sir.
We've accepted as sons of God, carrying God's Spirit, carrying the Lord Jesus. Jesus lived with Christ in me, the hope of glory. But you see, you have to love to have an impact on the Holy Spirit. You got to love righteousness. Now he give you the ability to love righteousness, but you got to yield to it. So thou have loved righteousness, talking about Jesus now, and have hated iniquity. See, that's another thing. You can't be in iniquity.
I'm
anointed. And we have seen, sadly to say, we have seen in our generation men in high
faith. You just can't do it.
Came down. Because, see, the anointing, remember now, say, see, John 15:3, you're clean through the word. The anointing has to be in that word to cleanse you. You know, like we use water to wash some things, but we put some in it. So you got to, something got to be in it to stir up what's already in it.
Yes, sir.
Right.
All right. Now, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. All right. Therefore, God, even thy God, now look what he says here.
have anointed thee with the all the gladness.
Mm-hmm.
What is that in?
Yeah.
See, so there are some who are more anointed than others because of this voice.
Yes,
he's talking to Jesus, but he's talking to me also.
Yes, sir.
See, he have anointed you with the all of gladness, man.
Yeah.
Above thy fellow.
Yeah.
Mm.
See. So that's why in my lifetime, I told you my spiritual father was the most anointed man I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One, two other men, I won't call their name, I saw operating anointing. One man talk on TV, the anointing just come right out.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says, try the Spirit by the Spirit. So an anointed man will recognize an anointed man.
Mm.
An unanointed man will not recognize an anointed man. He's sitting there right there talking to him, or he's preaching. He's sitting there, not paying attention, you know, just sitting up there.
Yeah.
Thinking a regular servant.
Yeah.
And miss out the whole thing, man.
Missed it.
That happen all the time. Sad to say, people don't even recognize the anointing. They don't know what it is.
Yes, sir.
You know, what is that? Yeah. He said that, you know, it's sterling, slumped down, you know, and it's sort of like, I tell the story of preaching at camp meeting one time. Y'all heard the story before, but it fit this. I was a guest speaker. Nobody knew me. My church, I trained them to go, like y'all do. And they can catch the anointing too, and they don't know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So one of my elders was sitting in the bleachers, thousands of people were there, and this man was there, he was holding the seat for him and his wife, so he wasn't there for my meeting. And he said, who is Leroy Thompson? And so my member, he'd been around a while, you know, so he didn't tell him nothing. He didn't say, this is my pastor, or he anointed, or nothing like that. He just laughed, you know. But my member said, I know he said, wait till pastor get up here. When the Holy Ghost comes, you know who he is.
Yeah.
So it's after about 15 minutes, he said, that man was hitting and jumping up with his body. God, my God. The anointing started hitting
us in
the ring, you know. I've seen the anointing move. I preach in a camp meeting, 20,000 people in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was preaching along the line of the soul of the spirit, I believe. And all of a sudden, immediately, straight away, the Holy Ghost came in that auditorium.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know quite what I'm doing. I did a lot of praying. You know, I had to preach to that many people. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Holy Ghost came in as a mighty rushing wind.
Yeah.
And disturbed the meeting. The police ran in. They thought it had a disturbance.
Yeah.
But it was the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I remember a man, I won't call his name, a man who didn't say too much. He was a minister, he was a good minister, he's going home to be with the Lord now. I knew he was way up in the bleachers because when I'm preaching, I'm looking around.
Yeah.
Spirit draw you to certain people.
Yeah.
I'm looking, and then I got through preaching, that man, of all men, I knew something had happened that morning, had made all the way out of the bleachers in a few minutes, man, and was in my face and said, Brother Tom, you hit a home run.
Yeah.
I was almost more shocked at what he said than what the Holy Ghost had said. But it was a powerful meeting. Yeah. I remember one time at another large ministry, I had to preach on a, I think it was a man day of prayer service, but I was preaching about Daniel, excellent spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sixth chapter of Daniel. And me and a whirlwind came back.
Mm-hmm.
Followed God. I'm trying to think of some of the meetings where there were high anointing. Well, just in camp meeting, you know, one night, more than one night, the Holy Ghost came in such a dynamic way. That's all that was, gentlemen, is years and years of yielding to what I'm talking about and teaching in this series about yielding to the anointing. I never tried to prophesy. I never tried to speak in tongue and give an interpretation.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you see, the book of Acts explained to us how the Holy Ghost works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost works suddenly.
Yes,
in Acts chapter 2. he don't work strategically.
Yeah.
He works suddenly.
Yeah.
And so you don't know what or when or any given moment. But you have to train yourself to know how to yield to him when he do.
Yes,
when he do want to do something out of the ordinary. So suddenly, straightway and immediately, have not been in the church as it should because the church at large have not learned how to function in the anointing. It's not an indictment, but Paul said it, having a form of God in it, but denying the power thereof. No, he said denying the power thereof. He's talking about denying the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
To do what he want to do at any given moment.
Yes, sir.
You see my point? See
yes,
my
sir.
Point? So that, I want you to know why so many things are happening in the book of Acts, suddenly, straightway, and immediately, those boys were dependent upon the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, from, if you want to know how something functions, see how it functions from its origin.
Mm-hmm.
So in Acts 2, when the Holy Ghost came, it came suddenly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many substitutes for the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Acting like the Holy Ghost there, that the Holy Ghost never comes.
Mm.
Yes,
yeah, the Holy Ghost will not deal with a bastard spirit.
Yes, sir.
And anytime you try to function without the Holy Ghost, that's a bastard spirit.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost won't come because you have already contaminated the atmosphere.
Yes, sir.
You're trying to make something happen. Now, we're coming to enlightenment here. The Holy Ghost works suddenly, immediately, and straightway.
Yeah.
But that, why? That's to keep you out of the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you don't know when he comes.
Yeah.
because humanism can't get not mixed up with spiritualism or with spirituality. It can't get mixed up. So our point is to prepare and to yield.
Mm-hmm.
Expect.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And go forward.
Mm.
Because if a word of knowledge don't come, if the gifts of the Spirit don't come, one thing you know, and don't forget this, the fruit of the Spirit is always there.
Yes, sir.
And the fruit is just as strong as the gift.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
See, the gift does not, the fruit does not come out of the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
The gifts come out of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fruit of the Spirit sometimes just hang on a tree and produce life.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're in need of more, they subpoena the gifts to come in and function. So a lot of times man think because the gifts of the Spirit are not prophesying or not casting out devils, that the Holy Ghost is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
The love train is always moving.
Yes, sir.
Always moving.
The key factor there, the key fact is people are growing. The growing is more important than the flowing.
Yeah.
See, because if you grow, you always can flow.
Mm-hmm.
See, but you can't flow if you don't grow.
Yes, sir.
So the fruit of the Spirit hangs higher on the Spirit rack than the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I just stepped into that.
Yes, sir.
I didn't do that myself.
Yes, sir.
Lord just told me that.
Yes, sir.
But I understand it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fruits you will have with you always.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You won't have the gifts all there, but they're not operating always.
Yes, sir. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people pursuing the gift, I think you should pursue the fruit.
Pursue the fruit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fruit that make the gift work. The gift don't make the fruit work.
Yeah.
Because you got that one key element in there, love.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love
yep.
run the whole show.
Yeah.
See. So love run the anointing. So I hopefully that you have been inspired and that the word of God thanks for you to change your life. I appreciate those who are tuned in, and then I appreciate those who later on in their life will be able to tap into this teaching. We'll keep on teaching it. I'll do it in other ways, sit down and talk to my staff until we get the whole book written on how to function properly. In the anointing. God bless you. Father, just keep them, the benediction. May great grace and great peace and great power be upon those who are under the sound of my voice this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.